time now for Breaking Bones with Dr. George Barry and Joe C. An informative but laid-back approach to sports medicine on 1010XL.
Yeah.
Now, let's break some bones.
Welcome in a Sunday morning. We are ready to crank it out. Breaking Bones as we say hello to you. Hopefully the coffee is brewing. You got everything rocking and rolling for what you hope will be a great Sunday. Joe C. from XL Primetime. Afternoons 2 to 4 right here on the Superstation. And Gio.
What's up, man?
Dr. George Barry. How you doing?
Good.
I'm fired up and ready to go. Although I have allergies. And I know that you're an orthopedic surgeon. Mm-hmm. But you also answer to the name doctor. Is that correct?
That is true.
So I always like to ask you whenever I have anything wrong with me. As a matter of fact, I have, like, since you and I started hanging, and we're buds, all right? I mean, I think it's safe to say, even though
I won't acknowledge you in public.
Yeah, exactly. But I get more doctor questions. Hey, man. And they're not even, like, directing them to you, because I kind of sound like a doctor on the radio. And then occasionally they say, hey, can you ask Gio this question? So I am in the medical field.
Yeah.
But I've got allergies, and I swear to you, this year, more than any other year, it seems like the pollen, which I was never allergic to, is just driving me nuts.
Yeah, I will say the furniture in my backyard patio is like, you wipe it down, and by the next day, it's like yellow again.
It is.
It's nuts.
And I don't know whether we have like certain years or if it's every 4 years, it's worse than the others. But, dude, it is driving me crazy.
You know what it is?
What?
It's the spores from the zombie cicadas.
Hey, listen, we had a question about that. And someone just basically, they didn't even have a question. They said, if you two speak this into existence, they're coming after us like zombies. That was from last week. I'm trying to remember. What were they? They were...
It's a sexually transmitted disease that the cicadas basically give to each other. And then the males are the ones that spread it. And basically, their genitals fall off. And when the genitals fall off, the spores go everywhere.
So it says, if you speak this zombie disease into existence, I will come find you and haunt you. All right. So we talk sports injuries. Our man, Dr. George Barry, fellowship trained under the renowned Dr. James Andrews. So if you have a sports injury question, elbow, wrist, you know, whatever, I have one with my wrist that I'll ask you about. But you can hit us with any of them. And it's real simple. Hit the text line, 641-1010. Got a couple left over from XL Primetime earlier in the week and then also last Sunday. So you can definitely do it. Now, we talk about different types of injuries. I want to bring up one. And it was Joel Embiid, and he came back after a lengthy absence it was a meniscus repair, if I remember it right. And you and I had talked about this before, Gio, because he had fallen to the ground. He's a big 7-footer, 7-foot plus, and the other player on the other team mashed his knee down into the hard court. And so he ends up having a procedure, and we don't know the length or severity of it, but he comes back, and this was after, what, about 6 weeks? Gets back right before the playoffs start, and then first playoff game against the Knicks, lo and behold, they're the lower seed, they're playing up in New York, and he awkwardly falls, and you could see that knee, and it's almost like a hyperextension. And so the chatter is he came back too early, yet I don't think he came back too early.
So he came back, I think, in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then actually, they mentioned that he had a flap tear and had a meniscectomy. So a meniscectomy, anything with ectomy is you remove
Okay.
OMI. OMI is really like a lobotomy, right? A meniscectomy, you remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are usually, we tell people, 8 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
I tell people 8
so
to 12
weeks.
So
that maybe is just a little sooner then.
Yeah. So look, I think that it depends on the person. I think 6 weeks can be done.
Right.
It's not the norm, but I definitely have had some people who at 6 weeks are like, hey, I feel great. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
And then if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be the professional athlete.
Right.
So I think 6 weeks is the limit, the earliest you should come back from it. And those are exceptions, not the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone can do it, it's a professional athlete who has all the support.
Sure.
Can go to therapy twice a week, all that stuff. Now saying that, that doesn't mean he didn't come back too early. I mean, just because you're a professional athlete and you have all the resources doesn't mean you're going to come back earlier.
Right.
Right? I mean, so maybe he did come back a touch early. I don't know, but obviously he felt and the medical staff felt that he was good enough to come back. Now, the good thing is when you do a meniscectomy, if you come back too early, you're not like, hey, you're going to rip out this repair. Be careful. And now we're back to, you know, where we started, because there's no repair on a meniscectomy. You're just removing it. So in theory, even if you come back too early and it's sore, you could just rest it and kind of catch up a little bit. And then you should be able to then catch up that way and come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, he is, as you have said so often, he is a big man. Any of those injuries on those bigger people, it's a lot tougher to rehab. And he is a guy that I think is right now determined to prove that he's not injury prone, which he actually is.
You know, and he's had a meniscectomy on this knee, I think, a year ago or the year before. So he's already had a couple of meniscectomies on that knee. So you know what I think his problem is? He's a reptilian. Have you seen those videos?
No, I have not seen this.
So there's a big thing now, but I guess Joel Embiid got hit in the left eye or something. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that video. But so now there's all these videos recently of him, every time he blinks, only his right eye blinks. His left eye stays completely open. I mean, he gets hit on the floor and the camera's showing him like just laying there and his right eye keeps blinking, left eye stays open.
Oh, that's some freaky stuff.
He's on the bench, his right eye blinks, left eye stays open. So people are saying he's a reptilian, Joe.
Okay, that is pretty freaky. And look, whenever you have you know, that extra bit of DNA in your body, you never know. He could be from another world. He definitely plays like other world.
I mean, he was down 0-2 and said that they're definitely going to win the series.
Yeah, yeah. And he might have been drinking some venom at that point. I got to ask you, since you said reptile,
yeah,
have you seen the video of the gator that was loose on the highway here in Duval?
Here?
Only in Duval County. And this dude, let me pull this up here. His nickname, Blue Collar Brawler, Mike Dragich. And you can go see the video. It went viral. He is a licensed Florida alligator trapper. He's an MMA artist. I love that. A veteran, nonprofit leader. Basically tries to help veterans with PTSD by getting them out in kind of getting them away from their environment, getting them in the woods and hunting and whatnot. Anyway, the boys on the drill had him on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on their show earlier this week. And it led me to go look at the video. Everyone, I'm sure it's gone viral. So even outside of Duval, everyone's checking it out. Anyway, he was at the Iceman game. And was called. He is a licensed alligator trapper. So he was called that there was a nuisance gator, and the JSO was seeking a trapper. So he jumps in his car, gets to Edgewood Avenue, sees the alligator right there on the road, did not have his equipment. Now, it's interesting. When you see the video, it looks like he's barefooted. I don't know if he went barefooted to the Iceman game or not. But this is straight Florida man. Okay, you've heard of that. And he basically goes and gets this gator, starts popping him. And basically what he's trying to do is wear him down, get him all fired up, get all that energy burnt up, and then get on top of him. He ends up jumping on top of this gator on the asphalt, the middle of the street. People are freaking out. JSO's right there. And he picks him up like a big baby and carries him off. This is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Here it is. Here's his quote. I was at a hockey game in downtown Jacksonville with my family. JSO called the emergency alligator situation to FWC, and I was dispatched. I was only 5 minutes from the game, so I literally left the game, caught the alligator, and then went back to the game.
Yeah.
That's so Florida,
That's
man,
awesome.
Bro.
Did you even know that there was an emergency alligator line?
I did not. I did not know that. And here's the other thing. Did you know April is the start of mating season for alligators?
Ah.
So they are.
So that guy, I mean, that, you know, he ruined his day.
Yeah. This dude's like, man, I was just out on the hunt.
Right.
So when I was a kid, I had Artie Sims. Artie Sims, blue collar, because that's how I grew up. KC's glass. I was a glass man, radiator man, mix and paint, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, Artie was a snake catcher and a gator trapper. And we would go to the alligator farm and we would do glass work or whatever. We changed this big glass out where Gomek was staying. Remember Gomek? Just, you need to take the kids down to the alligator farm.
My son just went on a field trip there with my wife.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't gone.
Yeah. So Gomek is this huge, huge reptile. Anyway, Artie would make noises. He'd cover his two hands over his nose and start making these noises. And it was a mate call for alligators. And they would all of a sudden, they're just over there not doing anything. And they'd start moving towards us and start getting restless. And I'm like, dude, you are crazy. And he would do the mating call. You call him, he'd go. He'd catch a snake for $25.
$25 to catch a snake?
Catch snake for $25. Yeah, if it was poisonous.
That's not enough.
Yeah, probably not. But he would do it, man. Enough. It was just, he was so crazy, but he had his hair slicked back like Elvis. He was just a country Elvis, and I learned a lot from
him. Did he have like a straw in his mouth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He just was just a hillbilly happy is what he was. But I'm telling you,
$25
crazy. So you guys got to go see the viral what is he called? The blue collar brawler that trapped that gator. Unbelievable. All right, let's get back to sports injuries. 641-1010. If you do have a sports question or sports injury question, you can throw it Dr. George Barry's way. All right, so let me get to this other one. This is a guy that really needs your help. And he basically says, if you can just give me an idea of what happened. He goes,
okay.
I spray lawns all day, so I'm on my feet. And arch supports are uncomfortable because, sadly, I'm flat-footed. He said, Gio, please, the cortisol shots only do so much. So he's looking for some relief somehow, some way.
Yeah. Okay, so sounds like cortisone shots, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's just a typo there. And it sounds like his pain is in the bottom of his foot, and he's getting injections almost like in the plantar fascia area.
Okay.
What can you do? Well, arch supports don't help him, so that's out, right? He's done that already.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely try PRP shots.
Okay.
I don't know his exact issue, but I will say this. Definitely have done a lot of cortisone shots in that plantar fascia area, and it doesn't work on some people.
Okay. So it's not 100% effective?
No, it doesn't. And PRP helps. Now, here's a caveat. I'm assuming he's getting it almost like where plantar fasciitis is, but the fact that he's saying he's flat-footed...
Yeah, and explain plantar fasciitis just so plantar fascia.
So he's flat-footed. People that are flat-footed have a different issue a lot of times. They get peroneal tendonitis, and they get pain over their navicular bone where one of the peroneal tendons attaches to. Because when you're flat-footed, I always say you walk like a seal, right? You get that.
Okay.
And your foot kind of like inverts out or everts, right? Kind of looks like it's going out.
Mm-hmm.
And it stretches that peroneal tendon in where it attaches on the navicular. I don't know where his pain is exactly, but I'm assuming he either has plantar fasciitis or that navicular peroneal tendonitis pain. Saying that, if he has pain over the navicular, you can inject a PRP shot. If he has pain in the peroneal tendon area, you can try cortisone in the sheath or a PRP shot.
Okay.
So and some physical therapy. I would recommend therapy. I know therapy is really tough on people because, one, sometimes there's an expensive copay, and number two, you have to take time off of work.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is making you miserable and you can't work anyways,
right,
if you can't pick up a job or two here and there because it's hurting, you might as well bite the bullet and try the therapy, see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
But I would assume, based on what he told me, he has one of those three things, plantar fasciitis, or more likely, pain over the navicular bone or a peroneal tendonitis. But I'm not sure exactly because he didn't really explain the location of the pain.
Yeah, and so that part, you definitely want to help as much as you can. And it's true. If you can get to a point where you can start doing some exercises at home to gain a little bit of comfort. But yeah, if it's that serious, at least look into the PRP. And just explain real quick PRP, what it is and how helpful. And you have what we call a double spin.
So we have it's a platelet-rich plasma. Basically, take your platelets and you inject it. And it basically recruits the healing cells to your body. Why double spin is important, and so you can shop around and whatever you want. A lot of people do it in town. But wherever you go, I do recommend double spin. Let me tell you why. Number one, you need a system that at least pulls 60, that's 60 cc's of blood. If you go to a place that pulls less than 60, you're not getting the dose that's statistically needed to make a difference, number one. Number two, when you pull 60 cc's of blood and you spin it, everything splits off. You get about, 30 cc's of all this platelets, plasma, and then 30 cc's of red blood cells. In a single spin system, when you pull that 60 cc's and you spin it, and you get that 30, you just pull out, 6 cc's from the 30, or let's say 5 cc's from the 30, and you inject it, okay? Or let's make up an even number so it's easy. 10 cc's out of 30, and you inject it. So you're getting one-third of whatever's in there. But when you double spin it, you take that 30 of the plasma, you then re-spin that, and then all the platelets settle on the bottom. So then you get 100% of the platelets as opposed to one-third of the platelets.
Okay.
Okay, if that makes sense. So that's why a double spin system is very important. So wherever you want to go, go wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the questions if you're going to pay, you're going to pay cash for this, right?
So, right. Because one of those is not covered on insurance.
So you might as well ask, is it a double spin? How much blood do they pull? Now, sometimes the people who answer the phone can't answer that question, right? They don't know the fine details of that thing. But those are the important things you want to look for.
Yeah, and just the double spin, which you were one of the first to do it locally, very effective. And just make sure that you're aware of that.
A lot of people don't do it because it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely takes more time than the normal systems. Mm-hmm. And the kit is more expensive to the facility.
Okay.
So that's why some people, I'm not saying it's bad, but some people go the other way where it may not be as effective.
Yeah, so definitely check out BariOrthopedics.com and you can find out a little bit about that. All right, now this one's a little bit older, Gio, and it's from the NHL world, and it's Patrick Kane. And this one was sent in to us just basically asking about Kane, the hockey player that had hip resurfacing. What does that mean? Now, he had it back mid last year, was able to come back in December, and basically has been battling a couple of other injuries as we're in the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. But anyway, he was out 4 to 6 months after undergoing a hip resurfacing procedure. So the question is, what is that?
Yeah. So this is interesting. So we all know about hip replacement, shoulder replacement, knee replacement, right? So there's things called a resurfacing, not done very much.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can do a resurfacing of the shoulder and resurfacing of the hip is, so you have a ball and socket joint. If for whatever reason the ball is shot or arthritic, but the socket is fine,
mm-hmm.
then you could do a hip resurfacing where basically you can call it a partial if you want to call it that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't mess with the socket, you just mess with the ball. When can you do that? Maybe avascular necrosis, right? Where you get AVN of your shoulder, of your humerus, and of your hip, of the femur, but the socket is fine.
Right.
So you can do a partial or resurfacing, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of the same concept. When you get older and you're arthritic, you get arthritic in the ball and socket.
Okay.
Right? When you're young and you get arthritic, there's a chance you can have arthritis just in the ball portion, not the socket portion. That's why you could do a resurfacing or a partial, whatever you want to call it. But most of the time, it's both. That's why it's very rare. That's why you don't hear about it much. You always hear a replacement as opposed to a resurfacing.
Okay. Yeah, and honestly, there's so much new technology that's out there that you got to figure out the best way to make sure you attack whatever the injury is and then the quickest path to come back. But also, don't be shortcutting it. You just need to make sure that you have all the information.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there. And, you know, sometimes patients, they do a lot of research, right? Now, especially it's easy on the internet. And they'll come in saying, hey, like I had a great guy, I think he was like 40, in his 40s, 46, said, I want a partial shoulder replacement.
Uh-huh.
So we get an x-ray and a CT scan, and the ball is shot, and the socket is completely shot. So I had to, you know, he had a buddy who had a partial. So that's what happens a lot. Patients, they have a friend who does something, so they come in and they want that done. But everyone's situation is very different. His socket was completely deformed, so there's no way he can get a partial. And sometimes you just got to explain that to them. But a lot of times patients will come in and say, well, my friend got this. I want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But every situation is very different and every situation is unique. So
you
may come in looking for one thing, right, and then leave getting something else. It's like when you go buy your car.
Well, yeah.
You want the base model. You end up paying for the extras.
So I can get that XLE package, that E part of it? Oh, yeah. I was thinking, you know, it's like you get a buddy's recommendation on a good steak or a good beer, but I don't know about the actual shoulder procedure. All right. So here's one that since we're on the shoulder, I'll go ahead and read this one that was texted in last Sunday. If you guys want to hit the text line, 641-1010, sports injury question of any kind. If we miss it today, we'll try and get to XL Primetime's visit with Dr. Bari or next Sunday. I think I popped my shoulder out trying to lift too much weight on the bench. Hmm. Ever heard of that? And I'm thinking, Well, yeah, I'm sure plenty of people have done that. Anyway, real pain, but pulled from the other side and seemed like it popped back in.
I'm not sure what pulled from the other side means. But you can. So he said he was benching.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. When you bench, think about your normal bench position. Your arms are out and you're doing your bench.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most unstable position for any shoulder, is when your arms are at like 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And your shoulder is going to pop out in the body.
And it's almost more than 90 degrees.
Right, because you start going down. But you're out. So in the body, if you have your shoulder is like the most mobile joint, mm-hmm. but you have to give up things. There isn't, you can't have your cake and eat it too, right?
Right.
So the more mobile the joint is, the less stable the joint is.
Okay.
Okay. So your shoulder can go 360 around. Mm-hmm. Not many joints can go 360 around, right? Well, guess what? It's the one of the least stable joints you have because it can do that. Mm-hmm. So very common people who do shoulder presses, they feel instability. They feel what we call apprehension. They feel like the shoulder's going to pop out. Now, he says did pop out. And I don't know if he had to pop it back in or if it just felt a little clunk that maybe it's sublux where it partially came out and popped back in on its own.
Uh-huh.
I recommend, probably has a labrum tear if I had to assume. I'd recommend some therapy to strengthen the stuff around it to make sure it doesn't pop out again. And then I would tell them, do not put your shoulder in positions of risks. For example, you're going to do a bench press, do those classic tricep bench presses where your arms are in, you know, and you're tight. Don't do deltoid flies because your arms are going to be out. Anything you do, keep the arms the closer to your body, your elbow is, the more stable your shoulder joint is going to be.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to use a machine, that's even better because there's less less stress on the joint when you use a machine, mm-hmm. right, as opposed to free weights. But if you are going to use free weights, that's fine. But keep your arms close to your body. Mm-hmm. I do recommend some physical therapy because the studies do show once you dislocate, we always said if you dislocate once, you do therapy.
Okay.
But once you dislocate more than once, then the chance of dislocation many times after that, it becomes astronomically high.
Right.
So you don't want to get to that point where now it's dislocated twice and now you have a shoulder that's just going to pop in and out of socket anytime you go grab your seatbelt or you sneeze or whatnot.
Oh my gosh.
So just be very careful with
that. Yeah, so that's serious. That honestly is. You want to make sure that you can do anything you can to insulate that from injury if you can. All right, 641-1010. Good question. Let's go to baseball. Max Scherzer, all right? Max Scherzer, and the story goes, this is less than 5 months, Gio, after surgery to repair a herniated disc, he's trying to come back. This cat is like A.A. Ron age area, 39 years
old. He's going to be the vice president?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. The youngest vice president ever. Anyway, forget about Aaron Rodgers. Anyway, he's a little bit of an old man still playing a young man's game. Scherzer, 39 years of age. And he basically had to have surgery to repair a herniated disc and is trying to come back less than 6 months after it. Now, he also said, his quote was, that he attempted several, quote, conservative treatments and pain management, but the pain never went away.
Okay.
And so that's why he decided to go ahead with the surgery to repair a herniated disc. But we're talking about a dude that still can go out and deal and dish on the mound.
Did they say what he had? I'm assuming like a microdiscectomy.
Yeah, you know how they're so vague with this. But they said, unfortunately, after the pain management didn't work, it was determined that surgery was the best course of action. How about that headline, people? Now, we always hear these horror stories about how surgery is the worst possible thing. Not always, right?
No, it's not always the worst.
Sometimes
I do agree it should be the last choice.
Yes.
And coming from a surgeon, I don't think you should rush to surgery. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that is the answer.
Yeah.
Like there's no other way around it.
Yeah, and so he's trying to come back. Whenever you say surgery to repair a herniated disc, like you said, it's not 100% how extensive it was. But for a guy that, this goes back to that repetitive motion, what about throwing the baseball and how it would affect the spine?
You know, so he did the right thing, and this is what mm-hmm. we tell patients. We get people who, you know, send a question here, and I have a disc, what do I do? And he tried the injection. So sometimes, a lot of times these herniated discs will shrink on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'm sure he had an epidural. I don't know his exact what happened to him, but it sounds like he probably had an epidural mm-hmm. to help with inflammation and it didn't work. All right. And now he's probably had radicular pain where the pain was shooting down his leg, et cetera. And he did all the conservative issues and did the injections and he was still struggling. And then he did, sounds like a microdiscectomy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure, where they go and take the little piece out that's irritating the nerve,
right?
Call it a day, go home. And he looks like he's doing fine now. But yeah, I mean, how's it going to stress his spine? That's a great question. And mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to know until he goes out there. Is it definitely a problem now that he has a weak spot in his spine? Absolutely. And, mm-hmm. and there's no way around that. But that doesn't mean he can go out and play and do what he wants and have a good rest of the career. That also doesn't mean he's not going to have any trouble with it in the future. He may go back and, you know, just this be a common theme for him that he has to deal with. And it's one of those that you don't know until, you know, you go out there and once you're cleared, try it and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when you're trying to figure out, and I say this all the time to you, and I know you deal in sports injuries, so you see it much more often, but it's the repetitive motion. It's a golf swing. It's a baseball pitch. It's a quarterback throw. Like a running back has to absorb hits, but he's never doing the same thing twice necessarily. A receiver is never doing the exact same thing, but a thrower, a pitcher, a golfer, there's just a handful of them where they do the same stinking motion over and over and over.
Right, and that's, you know, repetitive motions are a problem, and it just is what it is. Some sports, especially position sports, like basketball, you don't do repetitive motion, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you're doing everything. Soccer, you're doing everything. Baseball, pitchers and catchers.
Yeah.
Repetitive motion,
yeah.
right? The whole time. They're doing the same thing over and over again. They're not really running lateral left and right.
Right.
Even position players in baseball, because that arm, the throwing motion, but more so pitcher or catcher, they get the most reps, mm-hmm. right? They get the most injuries and the same thing in golfing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and just kind of deal with it and hope that whatever injury you have doesn't flare up and you can manage it.
All right, so educate me on this because we're almost running out of time. If you guys have a question, we'll try and sneak it in, 641-1010. But Verstappen, he keeps winning, right? We know that.
Yes.
But he did some kind of special thing with the – there were two different races that I was watching this past weekend. What is the difference when they had the Grand Prix
yeah.
and then they had Grand the Prix. Sprints?
Yes. So the sprint is like a race before the race. Some people like it. Some people don't. They basically do the sprint. You can get points off of it, and they kind of also help use it to determine like your
starting order and everything.
Yeah, and it's like half of a race. I don't remember the exact, but it's definitely not as long as a regular race. And some people like it because you get points off of it. And you know, like the other day in the Chinese Grand Prix, it was raining, so it was like kind of a cluster, mm-hmm. right? And it was a different order. Verstappen didn't win, and it's kind of a cluster with it.
Right,
and I think they're moving more towards it because I think it makes Saturday a little more exciting. Do they have this in NASCAR, the sprint?
Yeah, before? Well, I was going to say that this takes me back to my old announcing days at the half mile track at St. Augustine Speedway. But you would have either Friday night or Saturday night racing, and you would have heat races, and then when you go to the NASCAR world, you would have pole position timing set. So it's just one extra wrinkle. If a fan's going to pay a lot of money to go, like you went to where, Austin and Miami.
Yeah.
If you're going to pay all that money, give them one more thing that they can go and watch.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, and it definitely makes Saturday more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, man, so I went 2 years ago, and the mm-hmm. prices now are just nuts. They, you know, now that you go once, they call you, do you want to go back?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, how much does it cost? And it's double, so double what I paid 2 years ago. And here's the kicker. They got rid of some of the benefits. So, like, you pay twice as much, and you get less benefits. I'm like, first of all, what I paid the first time, I'm not going to pay again, number one.
Right.
Let alone pay twice the amount and get less stuff out.
So, they're trying to sell you that whole less is more thing.
You know, it's, it's a little
I've heard about
excessive.
That. Yeah. Back in my, one of my early jobs in radio was, we're going to get you to do more for less, and we're going to tell you that less is more.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to do more for less, but less is more.
He just confused me.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever, you guys. Thank God I'm not at that radio station anymore. Yeah. We are here at 1010XL, and we are out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, we forgot to talk about the draft. Let's talk about it next week.
Okay. Absolutely. Sounds good. The other thing is they can find our podcast.
Apple, Google, Spotify.
And you can go to Bari, orthopedics.com. Any injury, check it out with our man, Dr. George Bari, along with Joe C. Have a great Sunday.
You've been listening to Breaking Bones with Dr. George Bari and Joe C. on 1010XL.